in Radharas Sudhanidhi, May 13th, 2010. We're discussing the Radhaguna Mahima, the wonderful transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. And we finished verse 27 yesterday. Now we're going to begin verse 28, which is describing the sweet nature of Radha, or Sri Radha's pleasant nature. Verse 28 from Radharasudhanidhi. Manjusvabhavamadikapalatanikunjam Gyanjantamadbhutakriparasapunjameva Premamritam buddhamagaddam avaddametam Radhavidam jutamupashraya sadducheta. This translation, O saintly mind, quickly take shelter of sweet-natured Radha, who is like a grove full of wish-yielding vines. Radhika reveals a wonderful abundance of powerful rasic compassion, and Radhika is a deep and unbridled nectar ocean of love, an unlimited ocean, no boundaries to her love. The first point he's mentioning here, in the verse he's saying that Sadhu Cheta Ashraya. Ashraya, as everyone knows, Guru Pada Ashraya means to take shelter. Sadhu Cheta means the Chitta. O sadhus, O saintly persons. In your consciousness, you should take shelter. Surrender to Radharani. He's praying to. And this verse, he's, in one sense, he's praying to his mind. There are many books, many prayers like this written by different devotees. Sadashama Niyam, so Niyam Dasham, something like this. There's one book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he's addressing his mind, and of course the most famous one is Manashiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. He's addressing his mind, which of course can be, oftentimes is our biggest enemy. So in Sadhaka Roop, we can say that Srila Prabhupada Saraswati is addressing his mind. He's saying, oh my mind, oh saintly mind. And he's giving us a prayer that we can also pray to our minds. We're endeavoring to be also sadhus, or saintly people, devotees. Let our consciousness, sadhu chitta, let our consciousness take shelter of Radharani. So this means surrender. It's a prayer to his mind, and we should adopt this prayer to our minds. O mind of the sadhu, O saintly mind, quickly, Druta, take shelter of sweet-natured Radha. This verse is listing different qualities, transcendental qualities of Radha, the person, her personal attributes and qualities. And also at the end, of this class, after we discuss these different personal qualities, we'll see a description, we'll see how each descriptive phrase glorifying Radharani's qualities here, her sweet nature, it also applies to Radharani's divine name. Because the last line, Saraswati Pada is saying, Radha Bidam, Radha Bidam Jutam Upashraya Sadhu Cheta, Jutam. O sadhu, quickly take shelter and with your consciousness, your mind, your chitta, your heart. Oh, in your heart, with your full heart, consciousness and mind, sadhu chitta, sadhu chit, upashraya, jutam upashraya. Quickly take shelter of Radha, Radha Abhidam, which means name. Abhidam means quickly take shelter of Radha's name. Then as we hear these different qualities, we'll see that Radharani's name, these qualities of Radharani, the person, they also apply to Radharani, the name. Radharani's name, because Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, Parishishta, they're all transcendentally equal. We'll see how that's drawn out. The first point he's saying, he starts out the verse by saying, take shelter of the sweet nature of Radha. Then he describes how she's sweet and what different ways she's sweet. So he's talking about surrender, and surrender, as everyone knows, is the very life force of bhakti. Sharanagati and bhakti go hand in hand. If sharanagati is less, bhakti is less. As bhakti increases, sharanagati increases. As sharanagati increases, there's a complementary relationship. Someone may say, I'm very devoted to the Lord, I'm Krishna's devotee. But then we see in his lifestyle, his activities, or his controlling of his vagams or pushings, he's not very surrendered at all. It seems to be he's surrendered to his mental impulses. Mano-ashraya. He's taken shelter of his mind. Whatever impulses or stimulations or pushings his mind dictates, he simply serves them faithfully and enthusiastically. He doesn't seem to be too surrendered. Surrender means we control our mind and senses, and surrender means we try to engage every moment in some pleasurable activity to the Lord. Anukunyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttamam. This is surrender. The moment to moment we're looking for an opportunity to please Krishna. So that depends on bhakti. The more devotion and attachment and love we have for Krishna, the more we want to please Him. And the more every action we perform, every word we speak, or every thought we think, will be an action of sharanagati or surrender for the pleasure of the Lord. So this is how you measure bhakti. How much surrender is there? Surrender also means following the order of the Guru. The Guru gives different orders to his disciples, or general orders to all their disciples, and we're supposed to follow them. And if we have devotion, Guru Bhakti and Krishna Bhakti, then we'll surrender and follow the order. If we're not following the order, it means what? Devotion is very less. We're not much of a bhakta, not much of a devotee. Guru Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta. So you can't have bhakti without surrender. The more bhakti, the more surrender. The more surrender, the more bhakti. This is the life force of devotion. And without surrender, the devotee's mind can never be fixed on the worship of the Lord's lotus feet, nor can his heart be free from all personal desires that prevent him from approaching the Lord. The surrender is, everyone has to cross the ocean of surrender by constant strokes, constantly rowing the boat of bhakti. You can't, I'm rowing the boat, I've done some surrender, I'm in my boat, I'm crossing the ocean. Now I'll stop and take a break. You have to keep rowing, keep surrendering. This is the point he's saying here about this surrender. Next point he says that about Radharani's Guna Mahima. Now he starts glorifying the qualities of Radharani. So he says, Manju Svabhavam. She has a very Manju Svabhav. Everyone knows Hindi. That Sri Radhika has a beautiful, lovely, charming nature. Svabhav. Manju means charming, beautiful. And does she only... Sometimes people are very beautiful and Manju towards their friends, but not towards their parents. They're very loving towards their mother, but not towards their husband or wife or whatever. Manju, they have what we call split personality. But Radharani, her charming nature, her lovely, beautiful, charming nature, she displays that to everyone. She has Manju Svabhav with Krishna or Shyam, and she expresses Manju Svabhav towards her sakis and her mandris and towards all the people of the world. Even us. How sweet is Radharani's selfless love for Govinda. So Radharani's lovely, sweet disposition is exceedingly pleasing by nature. This is what Svabhav, this is what Manju means. As she acts in such a way, it's very pleasing. This is one of Radharani's beautiful qualities. We sometimes act pleasantly and sometimes not so pleasantly. And we're differential in our behavior. We p- behave differently with different people. Different strokes for different folks. It's said. So Radharani doesn't have this dualistic vision. She loves all. And she respects all. And she serves all. This is a common motto in some groups, at least theoretically. Extremely theoretically. Respect all, love all, serve all. So this is Manju Sabab. She's lovely, charming, and beautiful. Lovely, sweet disposition, exceedingly pleasing by nature. It's very rare to meet a person with Manju Sabab. But I guess by this we can take it that if someone is a pure devotee of Radharani and Krishna, they don't have a very pleasing nature. Because you take on the qualities of your association as a crystal assumes the color of its neighbor. As a crystal which is colorless by nature. If it's placed next to a red ball, then the crystal, the facets of the crystal reflect that brilliant red color of the ball and appears to be red crystal. A clear crystal has that quality. So if our hearts are like a crystal, they become purified by Chaitadarpanamarjanam, by chanting Shudanam, and the crystal of our hearts becomes, our heart becomes like a crystal. Then with that purified heart, if we start associating with Radharani and start remembering and serving Radharani, Manju Sabab, then some of that beautiful gunamai, that gunamahima, that transcendental quality, at least some pleasantness must come in our behavior. Some charm must come in our attitude. And some beauty must come in our dealings. And maybe someday we would be known as being like this pleasant, charming, pleasant nature towards all. But when one's preoccupied with his personal agenda and his material desires, then he becomes rather cruel. He actually becomes rather cruel because he has to always endeavor to fulfill his selfish needs, which means you have to exploit someone or control someone or diminish someone in order to establish your preeminence. Radharani, her whole nature, she's Manju Sabab, she's always trying to encourage everyone and support everyone and serve everyone and satisfy everyone. She wants to satisfy Vrishabhanu and Kirtidan. She wants to satisfy Yashoda and Nanda and Lalita and Vishakha and Krishna. Her second quality is mentioned here is Adi Kapalata Nikunjam. Adi Kapalata Nikunjam. And this quality is here. This is, I would say this is a, I mean this is her second quality, but her, this is the third point of the verse. We discussed Sarachita Ashraya and Manju Sabhavam, and now Adi Kapalata Nikunjam. This is Radharani's second guna that's described in this verse, number 28. So this means that she's a kapalata. A kapalata means that she's a, kapala means desire and lata means creeper. She's a wish-yielding creeper or desire vine. And then the kunjas of Vrindavan. Radharani or Radhika, she's a desire vine in the arbors and bower houses of Braj. And as a desire vine fulfills the desires of anyone who approaches it. Radharani is a desire vine for Krishna and fulfills whatever desires he submits to her or reveals to her. And not only Shamsundar, but the desires of all the devotees. As Prabhupada once said, which we often quote because it's so sweet and touching, he said that our petition is with Radharani. Our petition is there. So we approach Radharani and say, my dear Radhika, O Ladini Shakti, O energy of the Lord, please tell about me to your Krishna. Because if Radharani is petitioning our behalf, then Krishna may show some interest in our case. But she's very much fulfills the desires of her devotees because she's Karunamayi. So she says here that she's Kapalata Nikunjam. So in one sense, so you can take this to mean that Radharani is the wish-fulfilling desire in the Nikunjas, Nikunja Biharini Radha Ki Jai. Nikunja Hari Krishna Bihari Krishna Ki Jai. So one meaning of this Adi Kavalata Nikunjam, that within the kunjas of Vrindavan, the forest bowers, Radharani and Radharani alone fulfills, this is her unique quality, that in those Nikunjas, she is a Kavalata for Krishna. She fulfills all the desires of Krishna in all different ways and means. But then again, we can take another meaning to say that Radharani is a Kapalata Nikunj, that she is a whole Nikunja, she's a whole bower house. She's a whole bower house full of desire vines. She's not a desire vine in Krishna's kunja, but she's a whole kunja or Nikunja full of desire vines. So therefore, because she has so many, she represents so many desire vines, she can easily shower the surrendered souls with streams of compassion and mercy. So now we have to think there's some point of discussion here about the Krishna Kapalata versus the Radha Kapalata. Like there's two teams here, Krishna Kapalata and Radha Kapalata. In other words, in English, the Radha desire vine versus the Krishna desire vine. So there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 38, verse 22. Natasikaschittaitasuritamo nachapriya dvesho pekshayivava tatapi bhaktan bhajateyata tata suradruma yadvad upashritar tadha. This is in the 10th canto. It's saying that no one is dear to Krishna. No one is his dearest friend. No one is unwelcome, hateful, or treated with indifference by Krishna. Nevertheless, he loves his devotees in the same way as they love him. Just as a wish-yielding tree grants the desires of men only when they approach them. In other words, if you don't approach the desire tree and vocalize your desire, then the desire tree or desire vine is not about to go out of its way to fulfill your desire. So if someone approaches Krishna, then he reciprocates with them in kind with their approach. And the same point he makes in Bhagavad Gita, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dveshosti Napriya. He says, I'm equal to everyone. Samaham Sarvabhuta. No one's dear to me, I'm not envious of anyone. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, maite tesha chapyam. But if my devotee does my bhajan, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, if some devotee, he's doing my bhajan, then I show some favor to him. This is the Krishna Kapalata, the Krishna desire tree. That Krishna returns in kind with the approach, like a desire tree. But Radharani is different. Because it's explained that Radharani is so, she's so much in this mood of, she's the Adi Kapalata means the presiding. Adi means the presiding deity or the presiding Kapalata. Residing within a grove of desire-fulfilling creepers, or she's a preeminent Kapalata, a Nikunjaful. The Radharani, she gives her love to the people of the world without any distinction. Did anyone come to, when Radharani came in the form of Gauranga, Karunamayi Gauranga? Radharani is there, the Karuna of Radharani is effusing and emanating from Gauranga's heart. When Gauranga toured South India and chanted Hare Krishna, he was distributing praying to everyone. They didn't come and surrender to him. They didn't come and do bhakti bhajan. They didn't become bhaktas. He just simply gave them praying. This is Radharani's nature. So she's a wish-fulfilling desire, wish-fulfilling tree that fulfills your desires even when you don't approach. Because they didn't come to Lord Chaitanya to get praying. They just came to see him and hear his kirtan. And he by his intention, by his will, his icha, shakti, and his intention, they received that prema. He distributed it, he gave it to them. Take it, take it. They didn't even know they wanted it. So it's like a desire tree. But a desire tree comes to you and says, "Oh, I know what you really want. Now I'm going to give it to you." But desire vines, an ordinary kapalata, doesn't do that. It waits passively. So Krishna is like an ordinary kapalata, although he's also extraordinary. He waits passively. "Oh, you want to serve me? You want to do ye bhajanti tamam bhaktya? Mai te te shachapyam." All right, then I'll reciprocate. I'll grant the desires of men only when they approach me. Otherwise, okay, do whatever you want. I won't just, don't bother me, I won't bother you. The Radharani is a little bit different. This is the difference in the Radharani Kapalata. And she, because she's not just one desire vine like Krishna, who is rather conditional in his expression of fulfilling desires, Radharani is a whole Nikunja. She's a whole Kunja full of desire vines. If she indiscriminately fulfills all the desires of everyone, even without asking. Therefore, Radharani's love for her devotees far exceeds Krishna's love for his devotees. Because she loves even the devotees that don't know their devotees. But Krishna only loves the devotees that have, Krishna only loves the devotees and reciprocates the devotees who reveal themselves and actually surrender and become Krishnadas. But what about, where was the surrender of Jagai Madai? But Gauranga came to them. Radharani came as Gauranga. Said, "Here." So Radharani's love is so great. So therefore she's Adi Kapalata Nikunjam. That's one of Radharani's qualities. Residing within a grove of desire-fulfilling creepers. Or she's the predominant or unprecedented desire vine. Now the fourth quality, or let's see, third quality, but fourth point that's mentioned here in the verse is Vyanjantam Adbhuta Kripa Rasa Punjam Eva. We often hear this phrase in relation to the Bhagavad Gita, Krita Punya Punja. Krita Punya Punja. In relation to the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's talking about the story of the coward boys, how they got the good fortune to be with Krishna in Vrindavan. He says, there's one verse in Bhagavatam, Krita Punya Punja. Of course, this is sadhana siddha sukkas. So after heaps and heaps of pious activities, after many, many lifetimes of accumulating spiritual sukriti, bhakti and mukti sukriti, they got the opportunity to take birth in Boma Vrindavan as sukkas and coward boys and play with Krishna. It's punjam. So this word is there, punjam. And Radharani is, punja means an abundance. It says, Vyanjantam Adbhuta Kripa Ras. Radhika reveals an abundance of wonderful mellows of mercy. She reveals an abundance of wonderful mellows of mercy. So Adbhuta Kripa, amazing mercy. So Radharani, because this is the, she's known as the Prema Lakshmi, because she gives the greatest gift. People think that Lakshmi Devi, she's the goddess of fortune, and she's always giving charity in the form of money, opulence is what people want. But Radharani's called the Prem Lakshmi, because she's giving something of the greatest value. This is the topmost gift. So the topmost gift is not money or material fortune, but Prem. So Prema Lakshmi Radhika, she gives her dedicated devotees the gift of Govinda Prema, pure love for Lord Krishna. This verse, Adbhuta Kripa Ras, it means astonishing, amazing mercy. Adbhuta Kripa. We have the Adbhuta Mandir, it's supposed to come up in Mayapur. The astounding, amazing Mandir that was predicted by Nityananda, or at least by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So her Adbhuta Kripa manifests as liquid mellows, or ras, mercy mellows of mercy. How is it? Bhakti, or devotion to Lord Hari, is the most tasty and satisfying form of mercy available anywhere. So this is why Saraswati Pada is saying that she's Adbhuta Kripa Ras. That Kripa is actually tasty, mercy. This wonderful, astounding mercy that Radharani bestows upon her devotees is actually very satisfying. If someone receives the mercy of Radharani or the devotees, then his life takes on a new satisfaction, a new meaning, and it becomes rather tasty. So that's why Kripa is considered to be a rasa, Kripa ras, and she has an abundance of it. She reveals an abundance of wonderful mellows of mercy. So this is the most satisfying form of mercy available anywhere. And so Radharani is glorified. This is one of her qualities. Saraswati Pad says, Vyanjantam Adbhuta Kripa Rasa Punjameva. She reveals a wonderful abundance of powerful rasic compassion, as it says here. Kripa is sometimes translated as mercy or compassion. And Adbhuta means wonderful or amazing or astounding. Vyanjanta means the power, the strength. So the power, in other words, you say Krishna Kripa, Guru Kripa Kevalam. The Guru Kripa is everything. The mercy of Guru, the compassion and mercy of Guru are everything. And Krishna Kripa. But Krishna's Kripa is not Vyanjantam, it's not described as Adbhuta. It's not described as rasa. Radharani's Kripa, Radharani's mercy or Kripa is described as Vyanjantam, Adbhuta, and Rasa. These are the modifying words. So, Krishna Kripa, Radharani's Kripa is Vyanjantam. It's very powerful, supremely powerful mercy and compassion. And Adbhuta, it's amazing how it works. Astounding. Who could imagine that Jagai Madai would go from base zero to the topmost position of pure devotion? Inconceivable. This is Adbhuta. Adbhuta Kripa. This is the most amazing. And we ourselves are examples of that Adbhuta Kripa. Bhakti Devi is Radharani. In Bhakti Devi, the energy expansion of Radharani, when the Guru comes and showers his devotion on us, bhakti on us, that's the compassion of Radharani. That's the mercy of Radharani. And that's amazing. That's Adbhuta Kripa. And when we receive that Adbhuta Kripa of Radharani coming in the form of Bhakti Devi, distributed by the devotees and by Gurudev, then our life takes on a sweet, tasty turn. It takes a sweet, tasty turn. Everything becomes delightful, rasa-filled. So the mercy that we receive in the form of bhakti transforms into rasa. Sometimes people say, oh, Krishna's mercy. I was saved from, like the story of the emperor and his, the king and his minister. As a pious minister was always saying, Krishna Kripa, Krishna Kripa. The king cut his thumb one time when he was hunting, and then his minister said, oh, Krishna Kripa, Krishna Kripa. He cut off his thumb with his bowstring. So then he couldn't really hunt anymore. And when he said, oh, this is Krishna Kripa, this is the mercy of Krishna, then the king, he got angry. He said, what is this minister? You're making fun of me. I cut off my thumb. You say it's mercy. It's not mercy. It's a great disaster. It's a great setback. So then for that impertinent statement, you get locked in the prison house. So they went to the dungeon. And then later, the king went out for hunting. He went out with went out in the forest, just running around with his dogs and animals, horses. And some dacoits caught him. They said, ah, yes. And it was by himself, apparently. So they're going to offer him to Goddess Chandi, to Durga. They want to make a human sacrifice. So they bathed him and prepared his body to chop off his head and offer it to Kali. They said, wait, 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 stop. He doesn't have a thumb. He's imperfect offering. There's some dosh here, some fault. We cannot offer him. Let him go. So he came back and because he had been several days traveling in the forest or whatever, came back to the palace, immediately released the minister from the dungeon. He said, minister, I have some idea now why you were saying this is Krishna's mercy that I lost my thumb while hunting a few weeks ago. Because recently I was abducted by some dacoits who were going to sacrifice me and cut off my head for Kali's puja, and my absence of a thumb saved me from death. This is certainly the mercy of God, so I can see it. But then the king said, but you've been in jail for last week, in a dungeon, eating bread and water, and no chapan bhog, and no remnants, and all these good facilities that you have when you're with me. But you're saying that's also Krishna's mercy. When I send you to the dungeon, he says, oh, Krishna's mercy, good, oh, Krishna's mercy, I'm going to the jail, going to the prison dungeon, to the dungeon. I don't see how that's Krishna's mercy. How could that be Krishna's mercy to be stuck in a jail for a week? No, no, King, you don't understand. Generally, when you go somewhere traveling, then you take your minister. You never usually go alone. At least you take me. And they would have caught me and cut my head off. And I would not be here today speaking to you. So therefore, it's Krishna's mercy. So this is an example of how pious people see good deeds and good turns in their life as Krishna Kripa. And maybe in fact it is. Of course, everything is the mercy of Krishna. But is it Adbhuta Kripa Ras? No, it's Krishna. It's simply Kripa. But is it full of Ras and full of tasty flavors? No, but Radharani's, her mercy is like that. It's tasty and satisfying. It's the most tasty and satisfying form of mercy anywhere. Only Radharani's mercy is Adbhuta. Only Radharani's mercy is Vyanjantam. And only Radharani's mercy is Rasamaya. Because Radharani is Rasamaya. Rasamayi Radha and Rasaraj Sri Krishna. Rasamaya and Rasamayi. Rasaraj Sri Krishna, Rasamayi Radha. So she's made of Ras. Her Kripa is made of Ras. And Radharani is so astonishing and inconceivable the way she distributes her mercy. And everyone comes to Vrindavan to get the mercy of Radharani. Srila Prabhupada made this exact statement. He said, coming to Vrindavan means trying to attain the mercy of Radharani. Because it's amazing and it's wonderful. If we attain the mercy of Radharani in Vrindavan or anywhere, then our life becomes full of ras. It becomes full of amazing events and becomes extremely powerful, our devotion. Now the next line, the fifth point of discussion, which is the fourth quality of Radharani, Prema Amrit Ambudim Agadam Avadam. Prema Amrit Ambudi, Ambudi. Prema Amrit Ambudim Ambudim Agadam Avadam. Srimati Radharani is Agadha. She is a deep, shoreless ocean of Prema Amrit. Nectarine love. Another translation is, Radhika is an ocean of pure love nectar, fathomless and devoid of obstacles. This is some commentary. That Radharani is an ocean of love, a shelter of all the unlimited number of Krishna bhaktas. Radharani is the ultimate prema shraya, the complete oceanic reservoir of pure love of God. For every single devotee of Sri Krishna, so every devotee, because Krishna is a Prem Vishaya and a devotee or a bhakta is a Prem Ashraya, a pure devotee, a Premi Bhakta, those devotees, they get their energy, they get their ability to please Prem Vishaya Krishna by Radharani's contact. So she's like an ocean. And they're just like, the devotees are like one little wave in that ocean. She's a reservoir. Because every single devotee's expression, every single devotee that expresses love and devotion for Krishna is actually expressing some of the waves from the nectar ocean of Radharani. Ambudi means ocean. Prema Amrit Ambudi. And she is a deep, shoreless ocean of Prema Amrit. That's like pretty unlimited. If you compare the material ocean, what is a material ocean? A material ocean is full of man-eating sharks and crocodiles. This is the analogy that's used in the Nectar of Devotion. Don't get swallowed by the crocodiles of impersonalism in this ocean of the material world. When passing through this ocean, it's called Samsara Sindhu, Samsara Sagar. There's so many crocodiles and sharks of misconceptions and Mayavadi ideas. So the material, if we compare the material ocean, which is full of man-eating crocodiles and sharks, which in the ocean of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the ocean of devotion, these crocodiles and sharks, they appear in the forms of desires for personal liberation or desire for liberation. So these are obstructions. There, but in Radharani's ocean of sweet prema, of nectarine prema, there are no crocodiles and no sharks. There are no obstructions and no obstacles. When we're crossing the, when we're swimming in the ocean of devotion, then we might sometimes face, might run into a few crocodiles in the form, or a few sharks in the form of material desires trying to devour us, or some ideas about liberation, or I want to get out, or freedom, salvation. And those are like crocodiles waiting to devour us. So in the conclusion, the last line of the verse, as we mentioned, Radha-bidam drutam upashya sarucheta. The conclusion of all these qualities that Saraswati Pada is describing, he's advising the sadhaka, and he's teaching us to instruct our own minds. The last line he's saying, sarucheta, O saintly mind, take shelter of the holy name of Radha, Radha-bida, Radha's holy name. So now if you go back to this verse, verse 28, and look at these three qualities of Radharani that are mentioned here, you'll see that they also apply to Radharani's holy name. So Radharani's holy name is Manju Svabhav. The holy name of Radha has a sweet, enchanting, natural nature, natural quality. Radharani's name is exactly like Radharani herself. Her name is exceedingly pleasing by nature. And by chanting Radha Nam, one becomes very pleasant, develops a pleasant disposition. This is the premise of the Acharyas, and this is the presentation of Prabodhananda Saraswati. Manju Sabhav Nam. Radhika Nam Manju Sabhav. Radhika's name is a very pleasing and satisfying and charming nature. And Krishna experiences that whenever he chants Radharani's name. He becomes filled with the presence of Radharani. When Krishna chants Radharani's name, Krishna feels the pleasant disposition of Radharani. He feels the charm, a natural, lovely beauty of Radharani envelop him and surround him whenever he chants Radhe, 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 Jai Shri Radhe, 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 Jai Shri Radhe, 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 Radhe. Manju Svabhav Radha Nama Ki Jai. And the second quality is mentioned of Radharani is Adi Kapalata Nikunjam, that she's a whole Nikunja full of Kapalata, or she is the desire-fulfilling vine and within the Nikunjas. So similarly, Radharani's holy name, Radha-bidam, Radha-bida, Radharani's holy name is a grove or a kunja full of desire-fulfilling vines. And Radharani's holy name, therefore, fulfills all the desires of her devotees and even all the Krishna's desires. Of course, there's so many pastimes in various rustic literatures to describe how Krishna fulfills his desires by taking shelter of Radha Nam. There's the one pastime when Krishna was waiting at Radhakund itself in the afternoon to meet Radharani, but somehow her wicked mother-in-law, Jatila, restrained her and kept her from leaving the house in Yavat to meet with her beloved and the kunjas of Radhakund. So Krishna was rather upset and distraught and full of anguish. But some mandris and gopis came and said, "Oh, Krishna, what's wrong?" And he said, "Radharani's not coming." So maybe you should take shelter of her name, her Manju Svabhav. Take shelter of Radharani's holy name. Do some Nam Sankirtan, Radha Nam Sankirtan. So Krishna started chanting the holy name. He was really chanting sincerely, Radhe, 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 Radhe. Oh, Radhe, oh, Radhe, oh, Radhe. And for some time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and he wasn't seeing Radharani. He wasn't having any Rupa Darshan or experiencing Radharani's qualities. And he wasn't, of course, meeting directly Radharani or engaging any Leela. So the mantris came back later and said, how's your chanting? How's your japa? Like temple commander inquires about the new devotees, new bhaktas, how's your japa? So the mantris are asking, oh Sham, how's your Radhanam? How's your Radha japa? I don't know, I've been chanting and I'm trying my best to be a chant with attention. I'm trying to avoid the 10 offenses to Radha's name. I'm trying to chant purely and fix my mind and be attentive and really cry out with my full heart, oh Radhe, oh Radhe, please come, please come. Please come so I can serve you. But nothing seems to be happening. I don't know why it is. Oh, you know why it is? I think, Sham, you're performing Namaparad. I think you must be making some offenses. Sri Radharas Suranidhi Ki Jai.